Father, when we come together, we desire to be encouraged and directed and built up. We desire to worship you. We desire to learn. Father, help us to keep open hearts and minds, never reaching that place where we're content and say, I don't need any more, I don't need to think any more, learn any more, grow any more. Help us to realize that there is the school of Christ that we'll be in for a lifetime, Lord, and we just pray that we would ever be learners and learners who can apply what we learn to our lives to strengthen us and be a blessing to those around us. May this be our prayer this day, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. One of the things that the Bible teaches very especially in the book of Romans, the book of Ephesians, and the book of 1 Corinthians, is how we are members of one another and how what we would call mutual edification means that each one does have something to offer. As I look around this morning, as I look around every Sunday, I see the value, and maybe I'm incapable of seeing the full value that each person who's a part of the body has, but God knows. God knows the infinite value of each person. And he says in his word that those parts that maybe feel inferior or that we look at as being inferior are perhaps even more important than the ones that we highly recognize. Having said all that, I say it to say that recently and today and in the coming weeks from time to time, we're going to hear from different folks who have a word from the Lord on their hearts that will benefit. It needs to come from different folks. And the Bible says then we judge that word. We don't judge that person, but we judge that word. Did that speak to our hearts? Was that a pertinent word? One of the things I believe about the word is it always speaks to somebody. And God's interested in the somebodies. He knows things that none of us know. And so Ruth Rogers had this desire to share this thing that's a part of her walk, things she's been learning. And we finally concluded it was time. And so, Ruth, if you would come this morning and share that with us, it would be well received, I am sure. And we pray the Lord will bless you and that we'll be blessed in hearing what he's put on your heart. Got problems at the back, I guess. No, she had it on red.
Red means stop. Green means go.
Red means off.
Okay.
And it won't do any good if you don't keep it close to your mouth. All right, Ruth.
I need new glasses.
That is out there.
Y'all sitting way back. Goodness. First of all, yeah, it would be nice, but don't. Kind of nod your head when I need to quit, Terry. That would be really helpful. All right. First of all, I'd like to introduce myself, Ruth Rogers, for those of you who don't know me. Most of you do know me a long time, which is really scary considering what I'm going to talk about. I had a little girl in children's church one time. She came. She was about 8 years old, and she came in and I asked her to introduce herself, and she stood up and very solemnly, is that a word? Solemnly said her name, and then she says, and I am I'm a chocoholic. Well, it cracked me up pretty good. And she was serious. Well, I'm here today. My name is Ruth Rogers, and I'm a recovering chicken. Hmm. And not Kentucky Fried. Just the scared cat kind. And I wouldn't tell anybody ever about being a chicken. But then my children started telling me I was a chicken. And when your children tell you, you got to believe it. You know what I'm saying? But I tried really hard to teach them to learn how to swim. It'd take too long for me to tell you the things that I was afraid of. I'll just tell you that the things that I wasn't are a lot smaller. I truly was afraid of everything. Until I came to the Lord, and he introduced me to a little book called Hinds Feet on High Places by Hannah Hernard. And the heroine in that book, her name was Much Afraid. And about 3 pages into that book, I'm going, I can't read this. And I literally threw it across the room because I knew at that moment that the Lord in heaven was bent on getting me free. And it scared me silly. So my life since that, and that's been a long, long time, and has been a lessons in getting free. And you're never too old to get freer, I've discovered. And you're never too old to really know what freedom is. I wouldn't tell anybody about it, even after I came to the Lord, that I was afraid of getting in boats and I was afraid of going in elevators. I just made people walk a lot with me or find another way to get there. It was like allergies. You just avoided the allergen. And that way you looked like you were having fun, and you were, but it wasn't to the height you'd like to have been. I do ride in boats now. I do ride elevators. I don't ride the ones at the hospital because they do get stuck sometimes. Forget that. So, you know, fearful and wisdom are not necessarily the same thing. Sometimes you can just have wisdom and not do stuff. Children's Church has been a wonderful thing for me over the years, and I really think the Lord called me to teach little guys because he knew what a chicken I had been. And he knew how children need that encouragement not to grow up the same way. And it also just keeps you young. It is just fun to teaching kids, and they don't spend a lot of time judging you. You don't feel like you got to measure up to, you know, anybody but a five-year-old. That's pretty cool. But in that process, I really do take it seriously what I teach, and I want to teach children to grow up free, to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So in that process, I teach a lot of children's stories, or Bible stories, except I like to say they're just Bible facts. It's like reading the newspaper. So I get to read about David and Goliath and all those heroes of the Bible more than you probably read them yourselves. Because I do it as a curriculum, and you know I'm going to pass through that Red Sea more times than you will. So in that time that I have done that, and it's been years, I find the Lord teaching me at the same time. Sometimes it overwhelms me what he will teach me that I'd never seen before. Just recently, he showed me with Caleb and Joshua. And when the spies went into the promised land, in my head, I knew it was that generation that didn't make it into the promised land. But for some reason, it just never got in here. That it was just two of them that got in of the whole generation. Two men got in. Now, God didn't put that little story in the Bible just to be something you teach in children's church. You know, there's truth there. I mean, they were begging them, come on, you know. And this thing is, you know, we mostly relate to things as a human race with our sight. I've been reading a little story about a snail. I mean, it's just about a lady that fell in love with a little snail. But that's complicated. But anyway, but it turns out that snails only relate to the world through their hearing and their taste. That must be why they go so slow. They're not really afraid of anything except taste or smell, whatever kind of puts them off, and then they just kind of chug on out of the way very slowly. They never get in a hurry. But we respond here. If we have our sight, we respond by sight. The thing is, Caleb and Joshua, they had their sight as well as the rest of the spies. They saw giants. They saw them. Same as other guys. And they came back with a completely different report. The main report from Caleb and Joshua, yeah, they're giants. But God said, we can take it. He's given it to us. We can take it. So I'm telling you, when you see things in the Word of God, that letter from God that says things like that, it makes me want to be those two guys, not those others. They didn't get to the promised land. They went through all that. They were just, it's just sad. And sad to say that there are many Christians today that are settling far, far less, you know, than God has promised. I grew up in a church that, some of you know, I heard two sermons. Maybe there were more, but I didn't hear them. But I responded to the ones I heard. But they had nothing to do with the here and now. How do I get from the age of 5, when I first realized that there was fear in the world and it was coming at me and it was trying to get me, to age 68? How did I go from that to that and live it? I couldn't have. Found out early on they were too strong for me. It talks, I think, in the Hebrews about a besetting sin. I think fear was my besetting sin. I actually have friends that are not fearful. Don't have to fight fear. Blows me away. Because that, I feel like, has been what I've had to deal with all the time, all my life. And I'm not, but the thing is, I'm not crying about that. Because I've found a God, maybe different from everybody else that doesn't have that fear, that have been able to depend on themselves more. I've found a God that will give me peace when I need it. I've found a God that loves me and understands my weakness. I've found that I need fellowship, you know, the people on the boat with me, because we need it. We need to be upheld. We need, when it says encourage each other daily, you know what that is actually talking about is, we're in a battle down here. There really is a battle going on. Amen. Terry was talking about in the heavenlies. Well, what we want is to sit in church and not really, and I'm not saying this for us, I'm just saying, but you tend to want to sit in church and just feel safe and not have to really do much of anything. But God's got assignments for us. He's got things for us to do, and it's to affect the world. My favorite reading material are biographies. I love them. And I always read about men and women of courage that have faced insurmountable odds, spiritually, physically, emotionally, and have actually overcome. And almost invariably, they did it because God was in their midst. From the Jew to the somebody in Uganda, you know, all these awful things happen to people, but they always cry out to God to actually overcome. And that gives me courage. The Lord, the Word says over and over again, be of good courage. Be of good courage. Don't fear. Don't grow weary in well-doing, because it's tiring to do the right thing. It's tiring to do build walls, like, what's his name?
Who Nehemiah. Built the wall?
Nehemiah. He could have given up, but he figured out. I didn't mean to bring up Nehemiah, but anyway, I like him. He's one of my favorites, too. They just strapped on weapons and you know, they stood there ready to face the enemy, and the enemy had come right off the bat, because he always does that. He comes right at the beginning of something, and so he can put you off right then. So you want complete what God wants you to do. It may not be a big thing that God wants us to do, like children's church, or put on a play, or some of the things God's called me to do. And you think, what about, how's that, the grand scheme of thing, going to change anything? Well, it changes me. It makes me more peaceful. And then I can glorify God. And perhaps someone else will catch a look at it and go, yeah, I want to glorify God too with my life. So, anyway, this year, or this past year, I was going along pretty good. And I really didn't mean to mention this because it's the Lord has been teaching me this, as you've heard now, for years and years and years about overcoming fear. But July of last year, I got a call on the telephone after having a mammogram, and they said, you need to come in, and we got to do a biopsy on you. And I was having a really nice day, and it went south quick. And I discovered there's another fear. When you actually say, you know, when you decide at one point in your life that you want to be actually free from the bondage of fear, instead of just arranging things so it doesn't bother and you don't have to face it. And you say, I want that, Lord. Now, I'm not saying God gave me cancer. He did not. We live in a awful world that's out to get us. But he was right there, and I believe that he showed it at the, it showed up at the time that it could be dealt with. And I lost my train of thought there for a second. But let's just go back. When you hear that word cancer, I would dare say that most people would react like I did. It's like you're gonna just go numb. And you hear people talking, and then it's even getting in, but you were still just numbed for a while. Well, in that numbed time, I prayed, or asked our pastor to pray for me, and we prayed for wisdom as to what I was due. And I'm a real let-me-think-this-through kind of girl. Well, they didn't give me time to do a lot of thinking. You know, it was like, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, we're going to do that. Aren't y'all taking this a little too far, was my reaction. But God was with me, and he provided the people I needed around me to give me the direction and wisdom that I needed, just out of the blue people. We have Jill Ransdell in our family, or here in Lois and David's family, and she's a cousin-in-law now. So, and I realized she was a doctor, and I even write, you know, checks out to her sometimes because of, you know, things you do. Anyway, all of a sudden, they're saying, you should call Jill and talk to her. And I'm going, why? It was such a blessing to be able to talk to her. I latched onto the words she spoke, and I believe they were by the Holy Ghost. And I would go back to them in my mind when fear would come to attack me. And it was one of the things that got me through that time. But there was one thing in particular. That was what it was. God wants you free. He wants you free of that bondage. And he's serious. And you talk to him about it, and he agrees. And he says, yeah, I'm going to do it. Because that's what he came to do, to set the captives free. Isn't that just the best thing you ever heard, to set the captives free? Anyway. So I'm walking down from our house. There's a pond and a little park area, and it's pretty well closed off and stuff, but I go on down there and walk, and you almost never see anybody, hear anybody, so it's a great place to pray. So I'm walking along one day after all this had started, and deep in thought, and all of a sudden, behind me on the path, I hear, row, row, row. I mean, that close to me is this dog, teeth bared, you know, how they stand ready to chew your leg off look, okay? So I stopped, of course, jumped. I'm very jumpy, and turned around, and there was a dog, and I'm going, what in the world am I going to do here, Lord? There was the pond had overflowed, so there was a second pond. Can't swim. That was one of the things that I was afraid of, so I never got to learn how to swim. But I wouldn't have anyway. It's nasty. So, but anyway, I'm looking at the pond. Can't swim. I'm looking for a stick the other way. It's about from here to the highway, the nearest stick. There was not. I brought my stick and left it in the car. I love props for left. Anyway, but there was a stick way over there. So I'm saying, well. And the dog continues, rawr, 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 rawr. And in my heart, head, mind, body said, move toward him. Now, I do not move toward growling, yipping dogs. That's just not been in my response thing. And it was as clear as a bell, moved toward him. And I'm thinking, really? So I moved toward him. And I thought, well, I can move toward him, talk to him. I think everybody and everything should be reasonable. I'm going, nice puppy. Didn't move him at all. So I stood there, and I heard that again, moved toward him. I moved toward him again. He didn't move. And then I said, get out of here! And that dog turned, ran, laid his ear back, looking back, and ran like a banshee out of the park. You'd have thought there were 15 angels behind me. You think maybe there was one? That was the most satisfying thing I have had happen in the past year. It was just great. Time I got back home, I was flying. And first I thought, well, the devil had sent me that dog. I'm going, nah, God sent me that dog. He wanted to get me through a whole lot of other things. And when you deal with any time of cancer kind of stuff, it's just not one thing you deal with. I mean, they have a list. The next list was this radiation. Well, no, it was an MRI. Do you like MRIs? I can do it. My back went out the day they did it. I had to climb up in it and lay on my stomach to get it done. All the biopsies. I'm telling you, it's just one thing after the other. I would not have been able to do it with any type of grace at all if it had not been for the love of God and that little dog, because he always came to mind. And he wasn't so little now. I mean, really, late. He's kind of like that. Things like a radiation. You know how thick a door, I'll just tell you right now, how thick a door is on a place where they do radiation? And when it shuts, it kind of goes, whoom. So it's that wide. And the first thing a security person will say, what happens if the power goes off? All these things you think of, and then you recite the Lord's Prayer while you're laying there. And you face those fears. You really do. Facing your fears is pretty important, because it's so important that he put Caleb and Joshua there. He put Gideon, and he made it really clear about Gideon that he wanted to reduce down the number of men. Remember that sight thing. Reduce down the number of men because everybody would think that they overcame them instead of the other, that God overcame them. So he reduced them down to 300 men. And then he's quite a jokester. Then he just didn't, you know, say you're, get out there and win. They kill themselves. The enemy killed themselves. And I'll tell you, one thing I've learned fighting fear is the devil will always overplay his hand. And he will obviously do it. And if you pay attention to that, it gives you one more, I got the upper hand here with the name of Jesus and his love. And then there's David. Of course, David, the first thing my daughter said to me, Mom, get out your arrows. And that is true. David had already been trained, or get out your stones. David had already been trained by God. He already knew what God could do for him. And when they talked about David, he was a nice boy from a good family, and he belonged to God. He knew about God. He'd seen him do what he does, set captives free, heal the sick, raise the dead. All those things that we just kind of blithely say. The Word of God, if you're dealing with fear in your life, the only answer truly is trusting in God's word. That sounds like another religious phrase, but what it is truth. It's not by our doing. It is by his power. David was a giant killer before he ever got there. All the other people were looking at the size of the giant. They said it's 9 feet tall. 9 feet tall. That just doesn't even register. Of course, what's his name? Calipari would probably come get him here. But all of these men, they walk by faith, not by sight. If we're going to look at it, we got to look at it and see what it is. Not too big for God. Pretty cool, huh? I have a thing here that says fear is false evidence appearing real. Well, sometimes it's real, but it doesn't mean we're defeated just because it's real. God has a plan for each of us to overcome and to bless others. And this one I like. Faith activates inspiration and trust in the Holy Spirit. We listen to his voice. I was so blessed talking to Joyce Sanders, and she told me that God will talk to you if you just listen. You just got to listen. And have Joyce say that to you. It makes you feel so good. So that's my story, and I'm not ashamed of being a recovering chicken. I am recovering because God delivers us from the works of the enemy. I thank you for listening to me. Let me get this off my heart. Thank you so much.
I'm not going to change directions and preach another sermon this morning. That'll suffice for another time. And I don't want to be one of those who detracts from the message you've heard by trying to retell it. I would like to reemphasize it a little bit with an awareness of how true what Ruth has been saying, that we all probably have fears. And we know that's not of God. And we know that from something that Paul wrote to Timothy, who was apparently a fearful young man, didn't feel the best, maybe didn't have the best health, because he was the one who Paul said, you have often infirmities, so don't just drink water, but have a little wine for your stomach's sake. He was the one who reminded Timothy to not be afraid because there were older folks to whom he was ministering, but be an example, even as a young person. He reminded him of the faith that had been in his mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. It was in that context that we get that great verse in 2 Timothy when Paul says, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. The gift was probably the gift of teaching and preaching, of prophecy. But whatever the gift that any of us has is a gift from God. And this morning, as I talked about how the body ministers one to another, we all minister to one another in different ways. When Ruth just alluded to Joyce saying to her, God will talk to you if you listen, that's a gift of encouragement. So often we just don't realize the gifts that are within us. So God has gifted us. And so Paul says to Timothy, I remind you to stir up that gift which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And then he says to Timothy, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. So we know right off the bat from the Word of God that our fear is not from God. Now, I'm going to confess, I have some fears. Probably you will admit you have some fears. Some of them are strange, like Ruth was afraid of swimming and water. It's funny how you overcome those. I've nearly died twice. The first time was water. I was about 10 years old and visiting a friend. And we'd gone swimming in the indoor pool at the college, and he jumped and cut his chin real bad. And so the lifeguard took everybody out to take care of him because he couldn't leave him in there unattended. And as we were walking out, I was the last person to be leaving, and a fellow who obviously I would not know, don't even remember, who thought everybody could swim, just shoved me and said, have a swim. It was 10 foot of water, and I can't swim. And as a 10-year-old, I thought, I'm going to die. Somehow, you fight the water, you do this and that, and you pull yourself out. That motivated me to learn to swim. And the very next summer at conservation camp, I learned to swim. So I have no fear of water, have no fear of boats. I've been stuck in an elevator momentarily, Ruth, and I'm not even afraid of elevators. Now, at the risk of being laughed at, I'm afraid of the dark. I hate the dark. I hear voices. Things go bump in the night. I see shadows. I've been afraid of the dark ever since I was a little boy, and I'm blaming my mother. She kind of inspired a kind of fear of the dark. I'm 70 years old, and I've not really overcome that fear. That's not of God. But we all have fears. You can talk about, there are people in here afraid of mice. Right? There are folks who can testify that if a person sees a mouse, you would think they just witnessed a murder. Running, screaming. On a serious note, there are other fears. That word cancer does promote fear. Fear of death. You know, the Bible says something about that too in Hebrews. The Lord Jesus came and partook of flesh like us and conquered death so that those who their whole lifetime had been in bondage to the fear of death, could be set free. Every fear that we possibly face, Jesus has faced and has overcome. And so we don't have that fear from the Lord. We do have this from the Lord, depending on your version. The thing that's come from the Lord as an antidote to our fear is power and love and a sound mind. The power, I believe, is the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Love is that perfect awareness of the love of God for us. Because in 1 John, John says, he who fears is not perfected in love. For fear has to do with judgment. So if we live in fear of judgment, John tells us, it's because we've not fully appropriated and understood that God loves us unconditionally. That we're living with a fear that God's still mad at us. That God is upset and displeased that if we make a mistake, we're going to hell. So he said he didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of power. And that's the indwelling Holy Spirit. Gave us of love, which is the unconditional love God has for us. And of a sound mind. Ruth made reference to the fact that most of our fear is enhanced believing that there's a power or something more awful out there than it is in reality. A sound mind, which is a gift from God, gives us the ability to see things more clearly. If I might say, to see things as those who have the mind of Christ, to see them more from God's perspective than just the human perspective, and that weakness that Satan feeds on to tell us, oh, this is awful, this is going to be your undoing, this is the worst thing. And so just lay hold of the fact, Ruth, your testimony was good, and it speaks to us. And I think it speaks to all of us in one way or another about this thing of fear. And we all have some of them. But the word and claiming that promise that it's not from God. The fear is not from God. But the antidote is power, his power, his love, and the mind of Christ to see things from that perspective. Amen. So let's stand together. And our fears won't just automatically vanish. But as we focus on the things that we've been called to focus on this morning, I think we can have greater victory over our fears. We're going to worship the Lord. The worship team has prepared a song of closing, of reflection, worship. And it may be because there are specific times when God says, I want you to go and be prayed for right now for this fear. That may be someone this morning who says, you know, I've wrestled with this thing long enough, and I just want to turn it more completely over to the Lord, and I want to be prayed for that this fear. You don't even have to tell us if it's so private. You don't even have to tell us what that fear is. The Lord knows, but you can just say, I've got a fear I want to be rid of. maybe you just want to kind of deal with that personally between you and the Lord this morning. But let him speak to your heart on this matter of fear and overcoming fear through the gifts of the Lord as we worship.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord hath promised good to me, my word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. Like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. You are.